Lord, we need you. It is so true. It's so evident sometimes in our lives, but there's other times in our lives we don't feel like we do need you. Lord, remind us of this gospel truth yet again. And may we sow seeds that will grow in our lives to produce the fruit that you have for us to produce. Lord, as we look into your word, as we look into a perspective from Galatians this morning, what does it look like for us to bear with one another and to do good to all? May we be encouraged by hearing this. May we be challenged. May you give us a vision, a perspective of how we can apply this truth to our lives. Holy Spirit, come now. We pray. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, we are in part two of our Plugged In series, which is focusing us on the power of relationships. We're taking the time to emphasize this because the 21st century church needs to understand the power that truly resides in plugging into biblical community. Whether you consider yourself plugged in or on the outskirts of community here, my hope is that this morning you'll be inspired to more deeply invest your life in the community that God is forming here at Brandywine. Last week, Pastor Nate spoke to us about the three cords of unity that bind the church together. If you were not here last week, go back and listen to that sermon. You will be encouraged by it. But this morning, we're going to talk about how to practically plug into biblical community, the church, so that we can benefit from the power that relationships bring. All right, speaking about relationships and the power of relationships, I have a quick story from my life. When I was 17 years old, I was driving home late one night. I had just dropped a buddy off at his house, and I had 5 minutes to get home before my curfew was up. The problem was I was 10 minutes away from home. But to a 17-year-old, that's not a problem at all. Because you know what I thought I would do? I'll just drive a little bit faster, and then I'll get home, no problem. You might be able to tell where this story is going. As I'm going too fast, I see the red and blues flash behind me. My heart starts to race. It's the first time that I've ever been pulled over for speeding. But when I got my license, my dad, who's a captain in our county sheriff's office, he gave me a little card. And this little card identified me as his son. And my dad told me, if you ever get pulled over, give him your license respectfully. And then also, as you're giving them your license, give them this card too. It'll identify you as my son. So I give the cop that card. And the cop says, oh, so you're the captain's son. I'm going to personally tell him what you've done. And I was like, is there any chance you can just give me the ticket and not tell him what I've been up to? No, I ended up not getting a ticket, and I can confidently say that I have never been pulled over for speeding since I was 17. Like, no lie, that is the truth. Church, my point is that just like my relationship with my father saved my bacon on that night, our relationship to Christ, it has saved us far, far more. Our relationship to Christ, it gives us access to something far greater than beating a speeding ticket. It grants us life, eternal life. But before we experience eternity, there is so much more work to be done here and now. Because you see, our relationship with Christ, it doesn't just unite us to him. It also unites us with everyone who bears the name Christian. Pastor Nate went into this deeply last week in his sermon. We are all brothers and sisters joined together to honor our Savior and to bless the world. Our church, Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, it exists to be a part of that work. And those of us who consider ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ are the community of saints. We are the hands and the feet of this movement, but any movement that we're actually going to see will require that we are all plugged in, equipped, ready. This morning, we're going to look in the book of Galatians chapter 6. In this passage, the Apostle Paul gives the Galatian church an exhortation concerning how relationships within the church have the power to change lives. As we dive into our text this morning, we're going to uncover 2 points concerning how to get plugged in to biblical community, why we should get plugged in to biblical community. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It reads, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're going to pause there. What Paul's doing in this passage, he's giving the church a framework from which we can look at our relationships and our responsibilities to one another. And in verse 1, he says, if you see a brother or sister caught up in sin, the gospel response to that is gentle restoration. More germane to what we're talking about this morning in verse 2, he says, if you see a brother or a sister who is carrying a burden, the gospel response is to bear up under that burden with them. Now, physically carrying a burden isn't something that we think about much in our modern context, but in ancient times, this would have been an apt illustration. Ancient people were known to carry as much as 70% of their own body weight on their backs and their shoulders. The next time you complain about your desk job, imagine the desk resting on your back as you are working, right? Might have a little bit different perspective. This is quite literally back-breaking work. So the apostle uses the example of back-breaking work to illustrate the type of environment where we are lovingly bearing our brothers and sisters' burdens. Now, in our modern context, in our Western context, we no longer carry 70% of our body weight for a living, but we all still know what it means to carry a burden. In our modern context, we carry the burdens of our failures, of our temptations. We carry the burdens of trials, of setbacks, of testings that life ultimately will produce. Now, largely, our cultural response here in America when we see someone else who is carrying a burden is we avoid them, right? Many of us find this out when we ask our friends to help us move, right? All of a sudden, everybody's got a root canal or a colonoscopy they just can't reschedule, right? You know, back when we lived in Colorado, we were moving from one side of the town that we lived in, Castle Rock, to the other side of the town. And because I was the pastor at the church, many people felt obliged to come out and help us move, empty our house, move it, everything into the other house. It was awesome to have that many people help. When we finished moving, one of our new neighbors came over and introduced himself and asked me who I was. Like, he thought I was somebody important or famous, or maybe I was the new mayor, because so many people came out to help us move. That became a powerful moment where I was able to share about the power of relationships within our church and to bear one another's burdens, but to do it willingly. Like, you want to help your brother or sister carry that. You see, even something like moving house can be a bridge to the gospel when we plug into community and allow the power of relationships to shine brightly. But helping a friend move is clearly on the easier side of carrying a burden. How about bearing with someone who's grieving a loss? Or helping someone who's experienced abuse? How about coming alongside someone who wants to harm themselves? You see, there are hurting people all around us, but much of it goes unnoticed because we have not gained eyes to see and ears to hear the need. Back in our text, as the apostle is addressing our need to bear one another's burdens, Paul doesn't just stop there. He says, as we do this, as we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Now, that sounds like a big deal, to fulfill the law of Christ. What exactly does that mean? The law of Christ is far different than the Old Testament law of Moses that we see in the Old Testament. The law of Moses, it promised us life for obedience. The law of Christ, on the other hand, it promises life for relationship. You see, church, as we take on the relationship we have with Christ, and then we mirror that same love, that same kindness, that same peace, that same patience we receive from him, as we mirror that to those whom God has placed on our path, we fulfill the law of Christ. See, the Old Testament law would say something like, bear one another's burdens, and or you will surely die. The law of Christ tells us to bear one another's burdens as a means to truly live. And that brings us to our first point for this morning. Bear one another's burdens as a means to truly live. Think about this statement. There has never been anyone more alive than Jesus. There's never been anyone more alive than Jesus. Why is this true? I'll tell you. Jesus lived a life of authenticity. Yes, he was sinless, but he was more than that. In each interaction, in every trial, in every temptation, he displayed for us the capacity of the human soul. He was fully alive. Jesus said in John 10:10 that he came that we might then have life and have it to the full, to have it abundantly. This statement by Christ assumes that therefore it is possible to have less than abundant life. Many in our world are apathetic. They are depressed in their life because they lack a vision for more. They know little or nothing of the abundance that Christ offers us. And you see, church, as we connect to the power that is found in Jesus, we expand the capacity of the human soul. As we get plugged into meaningful relationships, we also expand the capacity of our soul. And in so doing, we become more alive. There's no wonder why many people on their deathbed, men and women alike, have laid there in full regret of the virtues in life that they left unexplored. Many have witnessed and wished that they had been more patient. They had been more kind. It's interesting how impending death can wake us up to the reality and give us crystal clear perspective on how to truly live. But you and I, we are here. We are alive. And as long as air floods our lungs, we have the opportunity to engage in a path that will lead us to abundant life. A life where bearing one another's burdens no longer seems like a hardship that we're taking on, but rather it seems like an opportunity to truly live. All right, let's get real practical. Because some of you might be thinking, okay, Pastor Todd, I hear what you're saying. I hear you. But how can I practically apply what you're saying to my already jam-packed, busy life? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have some ideas. We have a large number of ways to get plugged into ministry here at Brandywine, and not only plug into ministry, but also develop those life-changing relationships. There's a blue card in the seat back in front of you titled Serving Opportunities. If you're not plugged in, take this card, fill it out, and become a part of what God is doing here. Perhaps you are gifted at hospitality. Right? You just love engaging and meeting people. You're warm. Everybody tells you that. Why not plug into our welcome team? Maybe you love spending time nurturing children or teens. Get plugged into our children's or student ministry. Maybe you have a musical gift, or you're savvy with tech or media. Plug into our worship and music team. Perhaps God's given you a heart for mission. We have an ESL ministry here. You can teach people how to read and write and learn English. Or you can take a short-term trip. Next month is Missions Month. We're going to be unveiling some short-term missions opportunities. Maybe you feel like you need more Christian fellowship and relationships. Plug into a small group or consider leading or hosting one. Join up with our Come Alongside ministry, Grief Share, Broken Beginnings. The list goes on. Fill this card out and place it in the offering plate as the ushers come by later in the service. Do not fill this out and check all the ministries that you're already involved in. We already know where you're serving. We actually don't need to know that. But this is like, I want to get engaged. I want to get plugged in. I want to develop relationships here. I want to work towards the 100% spiritual employment that we talk about all the time. I want to get in. I want to invest. I want to be a part of this. We need all hands on deck here at Brandywine. If you were to talk to any ministry leader here, they would all tell you the same thing. Like, I need more volunteers. I need more volunteers. All right, so prayerfully fill this card out. And ministry leaders will connect with you. Put it in the offering plate as the ushers come by later. All right, now I'd like to jump back into Galatians 6 because here we find the second point concerning how to get plugged in to biblical community. Here we're going to dive back in, starting in verse 8. Paul says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." To put Paul's words into context here, a part of the reason why the book of Galatians was written was because false teachers, Judaizers as they were called, had taught that you needed to combine Christianity and Judaism, like kind of cobble them together in order to know the truth. This false teaching began to erode the Christian church that was just forming. It caused some of the believers within the Galatian church to begin pulling away from giving and serving. They were unplugging from the church, so to speak. This put a strain on the ministry that was happening in Galatia. And so here Paul uses the agricultural principles of reaping and sowing to illustrate how our investment or lack thereof within the church, it has eternal ramifications. He says in verse 8, if you sow to your own flesh, I mean, if you look to invest in your church based on what your sinful nature wants you to do, you will reap a harvest that will fade into oblivion. On the other hand, Paul says, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Meaning that if you look to invest in your church being led by the Spirit of God, you will reap eternal blessings for that investment. Friends, all of our lives are deeply invested in something. For some of us, it's work. We couldn't be more plugged into our work. For others of us, it's a team or a hobby. And when we're plugged into that thing, whatever it is, we feel more alive. Paul's words here, they are stark and they are strong because he knows that many souls lie in danger of sowing in the wrong field. Paul sees the Galatians slipping, and so he cautions them. And today, for us, the caution remains the same. Where are you sowing? Friends, if you feel more alive when you are at work than you do when you come to church, you may be sowing in the wrong field. If you feel more alive when you watch the Eagles, perhaps not this year, but if you feel more alive when you watch the Eagles than when you see a baptism, there's a possibility you might be sowing in the wrong field. If you feel more alive when you get a like on social media than you do when you're able to engage in another's life through prayer, you may be sowing in the wrong field. In verse 9, Paul tells us how to sow in the proper field. He says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Make no mistake, sowing to the flesh is much easier than sowing to the Spirit. And because of this, Paul's exhortation to not give up, it's a message of endurance. Many times when we first encounter faith, we want to serve everywhere. We want to do everything. We plug into every opportunity that we're given. We're on fire. We have loads of endurance. But then over time, we grow weary. We don't strive as hard. And because we're weary, little by little, our life's investment goes from creeping towards what we want to do with our lives as opposed to what Christ wants to do with our lives. All right, does everybody know what this stuff is on the screen? Everybody knows what WD-40 is, right? I call this like my mechanic because I kind of spray WD-40 on whatever's broken before I call the mechanic just in case it works. Because you never know, it's magical stuff. But does anybody know what the WD and WD-40 stands for? Oh, yeah. Somebody from the back got it in the first service, too. I cannot believe. I kind of figured in a church full of DuPont chemists, like somebody was going to be able to come up with this. Very good, my man. All right, how about the 40? Oh, for those of you who didn't hear, because most of you didn't hear, WD stands for water displacement. That's what it stands for. Does anybody know what the 40 means? On the 40th attempt. So water displacement on the 40th attempt. Now, some of you are like, why are you talking about WD-40 right now? Like, what does this have to do with anything? Norm Larson achieved water displacement on the 40th attempt, and he decided to not give it some, like, catchy name. He decided to name it that. He decided to name it after his investment in his time. WD-40 literally means water displacement on the 40th time. The next time you hold up a can of WD-40, and I know this is going to happen, you're going to think of this. You're going to remember that the can itself is literally a message to not grow weary, to never give up. It's the exact same thing as our Christian walk. The Bible often uses agricultural examples. In this morning's text, we have the example of sowing and reaping. Now, what every farmer knows is that you sow in the spring, you reap in the fall. Every farmer knows that growth takes time. No farmer expects to go and sow in the spring and then wake up in the morning and say, oh, where's the harvest at? They know that growth takes time. The mistake we often make in our Christian lives, though, is that we sow and we expect immediate results. And then when immediate results don't occur, we grow disillusioned and we can grow weary. Now, while it's true, friends, that our biggest harvest as Christians won't come until eternity, there is a ripe harvest available today for those who are willing. There are real people who are living on the margins who need the investment of your time. Your time. They need the investments of your talents, of your treasure. What would it look like for us all to put Galatians 6:9 into practice in our own lives? To not grow weary of the good that God has for us to do. In our final verse for this morning, in verse 10, Paul exhorts us, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Again, Paul is addressing this to the church, where he says that you should do good, especially to other Christians. That's what household of faith means. This is particular what wasn't happening in the Galatian church. But in a broader context, Paul's general call to do good to everyone emphasizes our need to have presence in community. It should be a blessing to our community. Our presence within our community, it should be a blessing to our community at large. Paul says, as you have opportunities to do good to everyone. Guess what, church? There are opportunities in the Brandywine Valley for us to impact lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know, it's not up to just pastors and staff to do this work because we are not the church. The church is all of us working together to accomplish what we never could on our own by the power of Christ at work in and through us. And this is why it's mission critical that all of us get plugged in. That brings us to our second point from this passage. Seek out opportunities to do good to everyone. Seek out opportunities to do good to everyone. Friends, is your life structured in a way where you're seeking opportunities to do good to everyone that the Lord puts in front of you? Have you created enough margin in your life where God's priorities are aligned with your own priorities for your life? The answer to that question largely depends on whether or not we have fully surrendered our lives to Christ. The process of surrendering to Christ, it is initial at the point of our salvation, our choice to follow Jesus, but surrendering continues continually as we are sanctified over the course of our lives. One of my favorite quotes of all time captures the essence of what it means to surrender one's life to Christ and the beautiful harvest that comes when we live for the one who died for us. These are the words of Charles Spurgeon. Too many of us think too lightly of sin. And that is why we think too lightly of the Savior. The one who weeps for joy at hearing the gospel. The one who extravagantly pours out his possessions in response. is the one who believes he has stood before his God with a noose of condemnation rightfully around his neck, and before he is condemned, hears a voice that says, I will take that noose and I will wear it in your place. Amen. Spurgeon goes on to say that this is the one who will joyfully, with joy, offer his life in response to the good news of redemption in Jesus' name. 2,000 years ago, God sent his son to do that for us. It's unbelievable. And it is good news. The way we respond to that good news is by getting plugged in, allowing our most important relationship with Christ to impact all the other relationships that we have in our life for our benefit, but ultimately for his great glory. Let's pray. Lord God, you have given us such a blessing and a joy to have the opportunity to come here and to fellowship, to build relationship and community, to get plugged into your purposes and your priorities for this church and for the Brandywine Valley. Lord, I know that there are many who are plugged in. They're pulling. They may be at the point of weariness. Lord, strengthen them for the battle. Lord, there are some who are here who maybe aren't plugged in and are thinking about it and are praying about it. Lord, may your spirit come alongside them, maybe even this morning, and convince them that they need to get in the game. They need to be a part of that 100% spiritual employment that we're striving for. Lord, may you give us all a vision, because it's a mighty vision, of what it might look like if every single one of us got plugged in to meaningful community, fellowship, relationship, service within this place. It would be unbelievable, and we would make a huge impact in our community and beyond, be multiplying the impact that's already being made. Father, give us vision for that. Give us vision for more. We love you. We thank you for the sacrifice of Christ. We want to honor that sacrifice by living as sacrifices back to you and getting plugged in as a part of that. Father, as we transition to a time of tithes and offerings, Lord, as the ushers come, may you use every gift